the new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance, any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Great to have your company this morning on this Thursday, the 24th of September. No footy this weekend, and then we launch into a massive final series in this 2020 season that is like no other. The Pies are there again. They've been constants in the finals for a long time, and they've been, well, as well led as they possibly can be. Their captain has broken all sorts of records. 314th game for the club on Monday, so the longest serving player, and also the longest serving captain of the footy club. And as a result of that, and we've just been talking wine with our man George Samios, he's released a very nice Mornington Peninsula Pinot Noir, which, Wispy, you're our wine man. You might have to get across this for us.
Yes, he has. He's released that. He lived down there on the peninsula for a while, Mount Martha, for over a year, and his love for the region and a fine wine grew over that period of time. I don't know exactly. I've not tasted the wine, Gary. Is that what you're asking me?
Well, I won't worry about you. Let's go straight to the man himself. He's been good enough to join us this morning. Scotty, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, congratulations, first of all, on the two records. I mean, everyone has spoken about you in such glowing terms, but we don't mean to embarrass you, but it must have been a pretty big occasion for you.
Yeah, it was. I suppose just with the week and obviously a few videos and phone calls, text messages and things like that, you realise how big the week is to so many people. And, you know, it was great up here in the hub that the football club made a really special sort of week for me. And you know, it was obviously disappointing my closest friends and family couldn't be there, but I think it was as good of a week as you could hope for without getting the results. So, yeah, appreciative of everyone that reached out to me.
How did the idea for a wine come about?
Well, I think I heard you guys say off the top there. I used to live in Mount Martha for a year and fell in love with the region down there. And we picked a winery on that's located on Sunnyside Road down there, where there's, you know, plenty of good wineries down there. My best mate also down there loved the wine, so thought we'd do something a little bit different. Yeah, I think it's turned out all right.
Well, it sounds like it has. There's only 314 bottles personally numbered and signed. They represent each game that you've played. They'll be sold for $199 per bottle, and it can be purchased at www.thependlebury.com.au. In addition, Scotty, I'm interested in this bit. You've handpicked your 10 best, your 10 favourite, most favourite games, and those bottles will be auctioned off in exclusive VIP dinner with Scott to relive those moments and his career. Was it hard to identify your 10 favourite games in all those games you've played?
Yeah, it was. I suppose we had so many people inquire over the first few days about wanting certain bottles that we decided to pick 10. So obviously, you know, game 314, game 313, game 1, game 300, premiership game, things like that. So, and then it'd be great to have them all along the 10 auction winners at a dinner and talk about those games and relive a few of those special moments. Most of those games, though, I did win, so they'll be fond memories.
Hey, you're such an accomplished player, and it's amazing that you're still playing at the standard that you are after 314 games. Was there ever a time in your career, maybe when you were just coming through or any other period of time in your career, where you've lost your confidence in any way, or have you always had that inner confidence and you've never had one of those patches where you've really started to doubt or question yourself?
I suppose every young player early in their career goes through a bit of that. Can you cut it at the level? And I think Paul Roos said early on in my career when he was coaching the Swans, you know, he really rated players that had good games, but then when they were off, their games were still good enough to be serviceable and help the team. And that sort of stuck with me. And I wanted to be a player, you know, that was sort of like that could, you know, obviously play really good games, but when I was not having one of those moments, I can still contribute. And then I suppose the latter part of my career, 2018 going into 2019 was probably the one time in my career where I was like, you know, can I back up? I had a bit of a bad back that year, and how's that going to go? How's my body going to hold up? As a dreaded over 30s caught up to me really quickly. But, 2019, I had a pretty good year, and my body felt really good, and it continues to feel good this year. So, fortunately for me, not too many of those moments where you're doubting yourself.
You're voted by your peers as the best captain in the competition. I'm wondering, where do those sorts of honours fit in terms of you've had, you know, multiple best and fairest, All Australians, Norm Smith, Where does it sit when you get your fellow players from other clubs vote you in the manner they have?
Yeah, obviously anything that's voted by your peers sits really high up there for players, just to have that recognition. And I was really surprised. On the night, there's so many good captains in the league, and you only have to look around the league and you see the way guys lead and things like that. So I was surprised to get that honour, and one that I'm really appreciative of.
What do you got to do better as a team? You got the big trip. I know you're heading over to Perth, go into the 7-day quarantine, and you're out ready to go against the West Coast Eagles. What area have you got to improve most?
Yeah, I think for us it's our connection with the ball. So I think I hear a lot about our forwards have got a fire, but I think it's our decision making going in to make our forwards look a little bit better. So when the ball carrier's got it 60, 70 out, that we're picking the right option, that our forwards are presenting, six options for the ball carrier, but we're actually picking the right option. And, we're still defending really well. Sides don't score a hell of a lot and we're always in games, but we've got to take our chances to score when the opportunity presents, because you need scoreboard pressure in finals to give yourself a bit of a buffer. And I think that will be our focus going into West Coast too. Got hold of us last time we played him over there.
Talking to Collingwood superstar captain Scott Pendlebury, played his 314th game last weekend. We also saw you during that game on the bench alongside Jaden Stevenson. He made a couple of errors out there. He was dirty on himself when he went to the sidelines. What was it that you sat down and spoke to him about?
I think he just turned the ball over and he was just, it was really good. He was trying to put some speed on the game. And, I just wanted to reinforce that, to keep doing it, because, in this game, you are going to make mistakes. And as young players, you can't go back into your shell. So I was really just encouraging next time he got the ball to take him on again, and good luck trying to get him again. So, and he was flat, he gave up a mistake where he thought that we could have got out and scored a goal and it probably cost us one. But I just wanted to reinforce to stay out there and stay in the moment and just keep taking the game on.
Hasn't been his best season. He's still a young player, really up-and-coming young player. Is he okay confidence-wise, do you think, at the moment?
Oh, I wouldn't say he's at peak confidence. He had injury-interrupted pre-season, glandular fever, a few hiccups along the way. And then, I think when he initially came back into the side, he was kicking goals and doing those type of things. And then, probably as our ball movement and our scoring dried up, so his opportunity. So, just trying to get him back in a confident headspace. Like all young players, it only takes 1 week of a good performance and they're back on top of the world. So we've just got to get him into that state of mind again.
Hey, Scotty, have you spoken to Steele, or did you talk to him? Fantastic news that they welcomed a new member into the Sidebottom family, which is fantastic. But did you talk to him about the process of maybe coming back?
Certainly the football club did. And, I left the logistics to people that are a lot smarter than me to figure that out. And, it was just going to be too hard. I think they were going to have to hard quarantine for 14 days, 1 hour outside the room with a newborn. I just don't think that's living conditions that you want to have to go through with a newborn. And, even when I found out we're going back to Perth and you've got to quarantine over there for 14 days, but we're allowed to do 7, and then I think we can break quarantine and come home after the game. So I sort of thought, was there an opportunity to get Steele over there? But, he's obviously an important player that, we'd love to have out there. But I think family in this matter comes first. And, if there was another hub for what the AFL have done a few times this year, he would have jumped in that. But the option of a hard quarantine is just too extreme for him, Alicia and Matilda to have to go through, or force themselves to go through.
Yeah, fair enough too. All Australian tonight, you're expecting to have yourself and a couple of teammates in the team?
I'd be surprised if the three other boys didn't make it. I think, Tay's had a fantastic season as a midfielder, and Darcy and Braden have, I think we're the best defence in the comp, and those two guys lead the charge there. So I personally don't think I'll make it, but I think the other three guys will make it, and I think that's the first time for all of them. So it's great recognition for a season that they've all had.
What's the great challenge, do you think, now as a group to go to Perth and win this game? Or do you think you've got the whole travel thing under control, the whole hub life style under control? Do you think those things shouldn't be considered in the difficulty going over there and winning this final?
Oh, it certainly adds up to the challenge. You know, we've got to quarantine for 7 days. I think the day that the game's on, we're allowed to head into Optus. So we're living under pretty strict protocols to go over there and win a final. And it'll be a final like no other. No side's going to have to do what we do, and it will make the victory even more sweeter for us. So, as I said, I'm looking to get over there. I suppose the one thing is we know where we're going. We know what to expect. And we've done it for a couple of weeks already this year. So, yeah, it's a big game, and looking forward to playing in front of, I think they're allowing 30,000 people there, which is going to be a great experience.
I was just going to jump in. Sorry, just one final one from me. Would you have liked to have seen the quarters go back to the traditional time that we've played before this season, or do you think it's the right thing to stick with these short and abbreviated quarters of footy for the final series?
Yeah, I would have liked it to have gone back. That's just my personal opinion. And, I think the game breaks open a lot in the last 5 minutes of quarters. And then, you add that into the last quarter, it's almost a lot more free flowing. And, I think the football this year has been pretty stagnant and, not as free flowing just because teams have energy to defend the ground for 16, 17 minutes. But if you stretch out for another 5, 6 minutes, I think the game would open up a lot more. So, that's my personal view, but I can understand why they've kept it for the integrity and fairness of the competition.
Hey, Scotty, you've got so many supporters out there, not just Collingwood fans. There's so many people that are texting us through to pass on their congratulations for the career you've had to date. So well done. Good luck for the series ahead, and let's hope all that wine sells out quickly.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Scott Pendlebury and 314 personally numbered and signed bottles. They represent each game that he played Scotland, of course, and you can go to www.thependlebury.com.au. That wasn't my fault, everyone, when I tried to wind up the interview. That was the Wisp. Said that he's done, but he always likes to have one final one.
Sorry, Gary, I've already sent the text through. I'm sorry. Heartfelt. Hand on heart.
Sports bets up next, please.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Questions without notice for Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's most trusted repairer of prestige German vehicles.
A little earlier than normal, but also very, very open to taking your calls here as well. 1-300-736-736, 0433-98-1116 is the Temper text machine. You know, Scott Pendlebury sleeps on a magnificent Temper mattress, Wispy.
Doesn't surprise me, Gary.
Yep, that's the secret to his high level of performance week in, week out. Mm. He gets a high level sleep. That's what happens there.
Neil now, Armstrong's mattress of choice, Gary.
1-300-736-736. Or, because we're doing it a bit earlier, because we're giving our unconventional club review, and we can only do it at 8:40 with Adam Spencer, who's going to join us, a passionate Swannies man. Pete from Nowra Warren will be listening closely too. So you better make sure you're on the money, because you're the man that's doing it from our point of view.
That's right. And when Wisp was left alone, you could hear the panic in his voice before. Never has a truer word been spoken, whoever sent that through. Never has a truer word been spoken. Hey, Kevin Sheedy has floated the idea that there should be a defender's medal. Okay, now he's just thrown it out there, and he thinks that maybe it should be called the Gavin Wanganeen medal, whatever it is. Can you see something like this working?
Yeah. Well, Danny Frawley, for all the jokes and mucking around that they used to do on the bounce, the late great Spud, he was the champion of the defender, and he did that for the very reason that what the Kevin's talking about now is that the forwards have got a Coleman, the midfielders have got a Brownlow, and the defenders don't get anything. So absolutely, I think it's a good idea, and that's what Spud's been going on about, or had been going on about, for 5, 6, 7 years.
Everybody can win the Brownlow. Who would win the medal this year if there was a defender's medal this year? Who would you award it to?
It would be, let's see, Darcy Moore, Braden Maynard, Harris Andrews, Dylan Grimes, Stephen May.
I didn't ask you for a list. I asked you for one name. Who would you award it to?
I'd give it to Braden Maynard.
There you go. You got a question for me?
No.
Oh, I thought we were playing questions without notice.
No, we are indeed. What have I got? Oh, the Irish, that's what I wanted to talk about. So Conor Glass has gone home. Conor McKenna's gone home. And there was another one too whose name escapes me. I hope this isn't the end of the Irish experiment. Do you fear for it?
I do. I do. I fear for it from this perspective, and that is that there's going to be less money around for the foreseeable future, right? So there's going to be less money for clubs to engage maybe in travelling overseas to look at these players, recruiting these players, the welfare that's associated with this. Clubs are having to trim their staff. So I do fear for it in the short term. Yes, I do.
I think you might be right, but I hope it's only temporary because it is untapped still. Patrick's joined us from Mooney Ponds. G'day, Patrick.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Look, I just got a bit of news. Nigel Carmody, I got a friend who knows him. And I think Joe's going to stay 1.1 for 5 years at Essendon. He's not going to go anywhere. And also, Tim, I used to walk your dog when you were living in Union Road.
Oh, my big St. Bernard, Patrick.
Yeah, mate. I used to walk it because I lived in Munro Street with all your other boys, with Hawks and who else? Harvey was living down in Munro Street. Mm. All the boys were living around here. And you used to give me $5 to walk that big...
Oh, jeez, is that all?
That big dog of yours.
That was a lot of money back in the day, wasn't it, Patrick?
Oh, it was, mate. I think I was about 10 years old, yeah. Oh,
did you buy your first house with that?
Yeah, no, the second.
Well, hey, Glenn, Patrick.
Glenn Hawker ever share his dairy milk chocolate with you, Patrick?
Yeah, mate. Cheers.
Good talking to you this morning, Patrick. That's interesting news, isn't it, that he's been offered 1.1, Joe Danaher. That would be great. If he stayed, I'd be happy for him to stay, Gary. I'd be more than happy for Joe Danaher to stay, Desmond.
Yeah, well, that's flying in the face of everything else we're hearing, but Patrick might be on the money. Paul's in Bendigo. G'day, Paul.
There you go, boys.
Thank you.
Just wondering, do you reckon Ben Brown's a chance of the same happened to Xavier Richards, where he knocked back a contract and then he didn't get picked up? Because it's pretty high money for a bloke that there's a lot of footage been around and commentators have commentated on the... If he doesn't mark it, there's no chasing, there's no tackling, no defensive work to it. So that's a lot of money.
Mm. Yeah, it was a lot of money, Paul, and that's what we're trying to... get our head around at the moment. If, as has been reported, and I think Tim said that North Melbourne confirmed that a substantial contract was offered and he knocked it back. Well, that's the game you play. Players and managers play those games all the time. You know, Jordan Ngoi could have signed a much longer term contract, but he signed shorter term, backed himself in. So you make those decisions and you live and die by them.
Off the temper text, why didn't the Wisp walk his own dog?
That's a good question. I was thinking about that.
Hey, $5. We were talking back in the late, when did I have Earl? Oh, early 80s. $5 was a lot of money back in the day, Gary. I tell you what, poor old Earl, he jumped the back fence more than once because I lived near the showgrounds. And they had the fireworks went off there one night. He nearly pulled the clothesline out of the ground.
Is it that big dogs?
Oh, crikey, was he a big dog. Hey, Justin Langer says that he might introduce a fight club for the cricketers in the hub. He says that, life can be boring, monotonous. You need to let a bit of steam off. Boxing's great for your footwork. Is there anyone, this is your question, is there anyone currently in the Australian side you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley, Gary?
What a great question. Well, back in the day, who wouldn't I?
Let's see. No, today, Dave, not back in the day, today.
Trying to think. Dave Warner,
you got him covered, yep.
Joe Burns.
You got him covered.
Marnus Labuschagne seems to be a nice fella, not that worried about him. Steve Smith, he wouldn't scare me.
Finchie? Finchie get you?
Who?
Finchie, would he get you?
No, he couldn't catch me. I'll keep having to think about that. Any of the bowlers, James, Pat Cummings, nice fella.
Mm.
Starkey, nice fella.
Mm. Back in the day, you wouldn't take... I tell you what, back in the day, you wouldn't take on probably 9 of the Australian 11.
No, that's a good point, but you left out the one that I wouldn't want to take on.
Who?
Naif. Goes like a thrashing machine, I've heard. That's a short version of questions without notice. We've got to get the news headlines.
I was born bold.
The new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Well, there wasn't as much cheering of the red and the white as there has normally been over the years. Five wins for the Sydney Swans. They are in a rebuild, but some pretty exciting times ahead, I think, given what we saw from some of the young players. And we've been doing this the last couple of days, the Unconventional Club Review. And Adam Spencer, now he's been on our radio and television screens for a long time. Triple J, ABC, Good News Week, Glass House, Backpage, you name it, he's done it. And he is as passionate about the Sydney Swans as anyone is. And he joins us this morning. It's great to talk to him. Morning, Adam.
Always great to hear a little bit of the banjo at this time of the morning, isn't it? Go Swans.
It is indeed. Hey, how did the love affair with the Swans start?
I was on Triple J Breakfast when the Swans reached out with an ambassadors program in the early 2000s, so I was a little bit lucky. I picked a pretty good time to get on board. I'd known about the game and loved the game for a while, but I hopped on the Swans in the early 2000s at about, been watching from the SCG, one of the most beautiful places to watch footy in Australia, and I've been in love with them ever since.
And you're a regular attendee?
Yeah, I get along to the vast bulk of home games, take my old elder daughter, Ellie, who's an absolute psychotic fan herself. We were there as part of a group of only about 300 people this year when we played the Essendon game, and there was something weird about hearing you cheering for the boys and hearing your voice bounce back across the other side of the SCG and hear your own sort of reverb echo. But it's been that sort of a season, hasn't it?
It has. Now, we've got our Unconventional Club Review. 9 questions we've got for you. Tim Watson will do his version as well, but you're going to kick us off. And the first question we've got for you as the Sydney Swans Unconventional Reviewer is, who is the Sydney Swans' next All-Australian?
Next All-Australian for the Sydney Swans, of our current guys who are already at that level, Jake Lloyd made the long list in 2018. And what he does isn't glamorous or sexy, but I don't think he could do what he does off the back and half-back line any better. He just accumulates a phenomenal amount of disposals, really calm and cool. The next generation, Heaney and Mills could both earn an All-Australian, and looking into the future down the line, Rowbottom and McCartan will both play All-Australian seasons at some time in the next few years.
Oh, nice work from Adam. I've gone with Isaac Heaney. We didn't see enough of him this year because of that injury, but I think he'll come back next year. He's that modern-day forward. He's got a great pair of hands. I reckon he might be their next All-Australian.
Excellent. Question two, with Adam Spencer, the Sydney Swans die hard. Do the Swans have the right captain? You've got a couple in actual fact. If not, who is it?
Yeah, the Swans have got a 3-way captain model. You've got Joey Kennedy, champion of the club. Dane Rampey, voted most courageous player by the PA this year. And Luke Parker, who grew immensely as a leader of a young midfield this year, often playing there by himself without Josh Kennedy beside him. I would say the playing group at the Swans choose the captains. I think they nailed it in 2020.
I think you're right, Adam, and they've got 3 very good leaders there. I wouldn't mind seeing actually Luke Parker be the captain, the skipper in his own right next season. I think Josh Kennedy might stand down from that leadership group, and I wouldn't mind seeing maybe somebody like a Callum Mills stepping up into that leadership group. But they've always been, in that time, maybe the last 10, 12, 15 years, they've had great leadership there at the Sydney Swans.
On and off the field too, has to be said. Question three, if player X plays well, the Swans are always a chance of winning.
Okay, let me go a bit of a multi here. I'd throw 3 names up. If Franklin, Heaney and George Hewitt, who does a lot of the tag in the midfield, if Franklin, Heaney and George Hewitt had a 3 fit seasons between them, I think we go from 16th to pretty close to making the finals. We had a season with a lot of close losses with young kids there. Franklin, Heaney and Hewitt fully fit. We are a completely different team.
Wow, Georgie Hewitt would be happy to be mentioned in those.
Hey, does his job.
He does. He's a fine player at being able to keep one of the more influential players in the opposition out of the game. Buddy for me still. I mean, our memory still serves us correctly here that Buddy is the most influential player up there, the Sydney Swans. Although the Papster's done a great job in a sole-type performance this year.
Righto. Left field trade option for the Sydney Swans.
Okay, I'm hosting the Bob Skilton Medal in a couple of weeks. I don't want to be sitting in a room with a guy who I've recommended we trade out. Let me say something quickly on the topic of trading. And this is a little bugbear of mine. And when you support a non-Melbourne-based club, you realise this. I think Melbourne fans don't realise some of the structures in the competition that favour Melbourne-based clubs so much. Every year, quite a few minted good players put their hand up and say they want to go home to Melbourne. No player in the history of the AFL has ever said, I want to go home to Sydney. No. So your Essendons, your Melbournes, your Hawthorns, over the next decade, they'll just get four or five great players dropped in their lap because those guys want to go home. And the imbalance there is fascinating. Last year, a high-profile player said they wanted to come to Sydney, and the reaction was as if the world was on fire. Whereas your Sydney and Brisbane-based clubs are permanently facing players wanting to leave, wanting to go home. That's an imbalance that I wouldn't mind somehow seeing redressed.
No, nice. Very nice suggestion. Nice observation.
Did you actually name anyone then, Adam?
No,
just players.
You've got to host the best and fairest.
All right.
We can't be trading
players. Okay, that's fair. That is fair enough. There's some good coin in hosting our club best and fairest, Gary.
So you name one.
Well, I reckon if this is a left field trade option, and I don't reckon they've got a lot there, but Ollie Florent is a guy.
Oh.
I'm not sure. I am not sure how much growth and how much better he's going to become. He's not a speedy type midfielder. I'm not sure he's particularly inside midfield. Hey, this is left field, okay? And he's got value right now.
Ridiculous.
And Sydney still need to build their list. So I'm just throwing you
up.
No, he's not. He's still there. He's having CPR, but he's still there.
Next question, please. Let's move on.
Right, left field trade target then. Who would you like to target? You've got the whole competition.
Oh, I got one here.
I've always wished that Josh Kennedy would come from West Coast to the Swans, because having two guys called Josh Kennedy just funny. But I think Nat Fyfe. I think Nat Fyfe would look fantastic in red and white, but the club might have to revisit its no man bun policy.
That is left field. Yes, West.
No, they need a ruckman. They desperately need a ruckman, a young ruckman. I'm not sure of the status of the contract of Peter Laddams at Port Adelaide, but he's the sort of bloke that they desperately need.
Yep, nice one. Like it. Now, which player needs a pay rise on the back of this year, Adam?
I suggest all Sydney Swans players deserve a 9.8% pay rise on top of their current wages to cover the cost of living in Sydney.
That's a very fine answer. Hey, I reckon James Robot had a great season, and I don't reckon he'd be on a very big contract at all. He'd be on a really modest contract, so I'd give him a couple of extra bucks.
Excellent. Now, again, with your hosting of the best and fairest, this might be difficult, but a pay cut?
I think I should probably take a pay cut for hosting the best and fairest this year. In fact, I'll do it for free, Phil.
Well, that's something that Tim doesn't do down in Essendon, and I'll give you the tip. Pay cut for you, Wispy?
This is very easy and very simple. Buddy needs to hand some of his money back. And Pickers, who will manage him and manage that contract, he needs to hand back some of his commission as well.
That's a fair point. The Pickers bit, not so much the Buddy. Well, who are you expecting a big 2021 from, Adam?
I was going to say Isaac Heaney. I think Isaac will come back fantastically, but I've just penciled in Ollie Florent for a blinder in 2021 when news gets back of this interview. Go, Ollie.
I had to courageously throw somebody's name out there this morning. McCartan, I think that he's going to have a huge year next year. Sydney have had this great ability and capacity to groom defenders over a period of time. Often guys that start out forward like Teddy Richards, Grundy, and then go back. They've got a great system. I reckon he'll truly bet himself down there next year.
Leo Barry's another fantastic example of that.
Exactly. Adam, you and I are now on the same page.
You've redeemed yourself with that bit. And the last one, the big positional change we will see in 2021.
Well, we are on the same page here, Tim, because I actually think the Swans showed us the big positional change for 2021 near the end of this season, when Tom McCartan did slide back and started to play centre-half back. Tom was the youngest player in the AFL when we grabbed him. If he was something like 2 weeks younger, he wasn't eligible for that year's draft. He was an absolute, like the definition of a kid when we grabbed him. 18 years and just a few days when he made his debut, he's still so young. At centre-half back, In a dire situation, like a sort of forced back there, he looked really calm and assured. I think we've already seen the big Swans positional change. In a couple of years from now, you'll have a centre-half back who can go forward and grab goals when you need. I think I'm just going to be so exciting watching Tom's journey.
Nice.
I agree with that. But I'm going to say Nick Blakey needs to be given a position. I reckon he's still a young player that's got so much potential, but I reckon he just needs to be bedded down somewhere. So I would turn him into a defender, Gary, maybe for just 12 months and help him learn the game, learn his craft a little bit more. I think he's got great size. He's got good speed for a bloke of that size, so he could play a little bit small, wouldn't get mismatched often, and settling into that back six where there's real familiarity and connection, I think that will make him as a player a lot quicker.
Well, I'm on the same page there. I'm not sure who Adam is, but that is why the unconventional play team review that we're doing works. Yeah. Adam, your knowledge is obvious. Your love and passion for the Swans is there for all to see, and we're all the better for hearing from you this morning.
Thank you very much, boys. Have a great rest of the year yourselves, and cheer, cheer the red and the white in 2021.
Just Adam, just quickly, what sort of money do you get for the best and fairest up there in Sydney?
I'll speak up. We'll take this discussion offline, Tim, but I can assure you in these financially constrained times, I deserve at least 9.8% more for living in
Sydney. Adam Spencer there doing our unconventional club review for Sydney. Hey, send through your nominations for Hawthorn tomorrow. Who would you like to see do the Hawthorn club review tomorrow? Adam was here for Cleanaway. Up your disposal efficiency with Cleanaway. Sammy Edmund to join us next.